This is Japan Baseball Weekly. News, interviews, analysis, and your questions, all about NPB. And now your hosts, Johnny Gibson and Jin Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of April 22nd. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Sunday morning is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud? You awake?
I'm just trying to gather what day it is.
You and me both.
I know. You're going the 22nd. I'm going, not the 21st. Hold on. But, you know, me and dates are, it's not my first rodeo with date issues. So, I'm good. I'm okay. Given the fact I'm breathing, I'm like, my feet are, you know, on the ground. So,
all right, not your first rodeo. Well, enjoy the ride. It's going to be fun. We're gonna wake you up this morning and get it going, get your blood going, and then send you back to sleep somehow.
That felt like some sort of movie plot, and then the door. You know, it's like an hour and a half, we're like just finished, and I'm going, okay, bedtime, and the doorbell will ring with some dilemma that will involve my the black sheep of the family showing up in Japan suddenly or something. So anyway, okay, let's rock and roll.
All right, on this week's show, we've got two chats for you, one with Cebu's Jesus Aguilar and one with Yakult's Domingo Santana. We're also going to discuss impressions from both leagues so far. We've got the return of Tsutsugo to the DeNA Bay Stars. We're going to go rocking with Roki and handle some high heat. Woo, we're packed, so let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, well, I can't say exactly when it was that I spoke to Jesus Aguilar. My guess is it was, since I think he said we played three games so far, so I'm gonna recall it was Cebu's home opener.
Okay.
On Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the season, because he said we've played three games, and I'm going, that sounds about right. The reason I mentioned him is because he's the first one you'll hear.
Okay.
And I was at Jingu the second day of the season to talk to Domingo Santana. And so those interviews are back to back. There's no introduction with Santana. I think that's because I just caught him while I was waiting for somebody else, and we just got into it. And he's been kind of on a tear the last year. You know, he's a really interesting player, and I don't know. There's a lot to it, but I've noticed one thing about it, and I'll share that a little later, but. Yeah, let's just go into the interviews and hear what the new guy and the veteran have to say.
Okay, our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is new Cebu Lions first baseman, Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. Don't worry.
Okay, well, welcome to Japan.
Thank you.
And how's it going so far?
Everything good. Still learning about the pitchers here. They got different moves. They got different leg kicks. So, yeah, it's been a little bit difficult because I spent a lot of time in the U.S. So right. Now I got to adjust to those guys. But, yeah, I'm happy to be here. Hopefully I can do it good.
Now, the timing is really a big thing when you come in here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. They got different moves. Every pitcher got different moves. So I think that's the whole part for the new guys here.
Right. The other thing is the strike zone here is it's really hard because the pitchers have so many of the pitchers have really good command. So,
yeah.
But you've shown in the past that you had a good command of the strike zone.
Yeah. Hopefully I can keep it here. Yeah. I think here is a little bit more wide here. Okay. But yeah. I think until I swing a strike, I'll be good.
Okay. So how's the playing conditions here and the competition so far?
It's really good. I mean, we just played three games and we're facing really good pitchers. It's not a bit different between here and the majors. Hopefully I can do that just really quick. But yeah, I think they got a good pitcher here. I think they play the small baseball here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's pretty good baseball here.
Yeah, they like... You like to focus on the little things, and maybe the little mistakes here is kind of a big thing. You probably already got used to that.
Yeah, they're looking for the mistake to take advantage. So yeah, I think here they bunting a lot. Mm-hmm. So the US, that don't I don't work no more. So I think that's a bit different between here and the U.S. Here, they move the runner, bunting, mm-hmm. and they do the small plays.
I mean, of course, you're competing, so you got to be on your toes all the time. But here, it's especially.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be ready every time. Yeah. I think that's the whole part. They got pretty good, faster players here, too, so everybody can run good.
Yeah.
I think you have to be ready every pitch.
Okay, now, how is the experience with the fans here? Because it's also a little different from back home.
It's completely different. I think the fans here come to enjoy the game. They don't say nothing to the player. They just support the player. They got a lot of energy, especially when you are on the hunting. They can make noise the whole 9 innings. So. Yeah. But yeah, it's a huge difference, and everybody's fucking the gang. I think I love that.
I mean, you had really good fans in Oakland too, but the whole situation was very hard.
Yeah, but some of those guys say something to the players.
Oh, really?
It's completely different, yeah. So yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm going to enjoy this experience. Hopefully I can do it good. Come back next year.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'll let you go and have a good, healthy season.
All right, thank you very much.
I hope to catch up when you're doing well later this summer.
All right, perfect.
Okay, bye-bye. Tell me about this year. It's like everything's been good for you.
Yeah. Everything started all right. I could say all right.
Yeah.
You know, because hopefully we could win a couple more games.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's been kind of hard.
Yeah.
It is. It is. Seems like every little thing is costing you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been playing some good defense sometimes, and then. Weird's happening.
Yeah, man. That's baseball.
That is baseball, indeed. And, you know, you've been doing this a long time, so is it easy for you just to put that in the rearview mirror and move on?
I mean, it's a long season, you know. It's a marathon, you know. So you just got to, you know, go out there every day. You know, every day is going to be something new. You know? You never know what's going to happen down the road, you know. Our first year here, you know. The team was all right, you know, and then we just click and, you know, we win it all. So we just got to keep playing baseball, man. Baseball is hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, 2 years you guys looked like nothing was going to bother you, and now it seems like everything's bothering.
Yeah, that's how it is.
It is. I get you. Now, you've been in Japan. This is your fourth year in Japan?
Yeah, fourth year.
Okay. What have you learned about and taken into your game from Japan?
Just, you know, take it day by day, you know. It's different style of baseball
sure.
here, you know, so just take it day by day, you know, and try to get used to it as fast as you can, you know, and just go out there and do your best.
Okay, what were some of the things that really required an effort from you to get used to?
Just the way, you know, you have to, like, you know, come on here and practice every day, you
right.
know, do everything every day for... You know, every time you come out here for a game, you know, usually in the States, you know, you take a couple of days off.
Sure.
You know, practice is not as hard. You know, here you just got to come out here and grind every day, you know. So I like that, you know.
Okay.
And I embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just go out there, like I said, you know, and try to do my best every day.
Embracing it's really a big thing here.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people came here and they just got a step behind and they never caught up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's real, and probably coming back from injury, that, you know, you had your surgery. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, you had surgery, and then you came back like, it looked like nothing happened, but that must have been really hard.
I mean, yeah, it was hard, you know. I never had surgery before.
Oh, wow.
And, but after that, you know, I just got to, like I said, you know, just take it day by day, you know, try to get better, try to come back as soon as possible to help the team. You know, thank God I did.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people said I was going to not play for the season.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, I just put in the work, you know, find the best doctor, and I did. And I put in the work, and I came back. Now I'm here.
That requires a lot of patience because,
yes.
you know, I know about rehab a little bit, and you want to do too much right at the start.
Yeah, not me. I was just, you know, just going, the doctor told me to take, I think it was like 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I took 3 weeks, you know,
okay.
make sure it's healed, everything's good. And then from that day on, I didn't stop working.
All right. Okay, well, good luck this year, and hopefully no injuries.
Thank you.
And Yeah, I mean, just keep doing what you're doing. All right, you take care, bud.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. What a pleasure. I saw Jesus yesterday, and he's always a chipper in good form, although I didn't remember it, but listening to the interviews, I could hear that, you know, he was a little out of breath having done his, just come back from his fielding when I caught him. He was coming back from running the bases and fielding and doing some stuff like that. And with Domingo, was the wind at Jingu was pretty nasty that
day. Yeah, we could hear it, yeah.
Yeah, so it was fun. Now, what did you take from those guys' stories?
Well, yeah, from Jesus, I enjoyed listening to him. He sounds like a very upbeat guy, so that was one thing I noticed right away. And I saw him. I've been out to Cebu a couple times, so I've seen him. I haven't really talked to him that much, but I did say hello, introduce myself. But I don't think I'm buying that there isn't much difference between NPB and MLB. And I think he's saying that because he's a hitter, and so the pitching is tough. And I think it's tougher than a lot of guys expect once they get over here. They hear, you know, guys don't throw as hard. It's, you know, it's not major league pitching, blah, blah, blah. And then they get over here and the timing is a major issue. And then they realize these guys can dot some spots sometimes and they have really good command. So I think for a lot of times for hitters, it might seem that way, but I'm not buying that, because when you're talking about hitters in the States, there's just a massive power gap, you know, and then the power pitching aspect is different in the major league. So I think there is a healthy gap between the two leagues, but it's narrowing, and we have seen the talent grow. You and I have seen it over the past couple of decades here. And I think on the whole, the ceiling isn't raising that high, but the floor is for Japanese players. I think, you know, the minimum or the lower level guys are getting better. So I would say that. But I like that he said the pitchers are generally on par in terms of command, and there's more speed throughout the league. I think that's true. There's a lot of speed in both the Central and the Pacific leagues, and probably because they're the guys. I mean, we're talking about physical makeup, right? So some of the guys are just, you know, they're built
right
to run better than major league caliber guys who are built to hit the ball farther, you know.
So no, that's no, you're spot on.
So I think that was one thing. What did you pick up from Aguilar's talk?
Well, a couple of things, and it was not specifically with Jesus, but you know, I mentioned the fans, and I thought that was sort of a trigger for him, because I do know a lot of A's fans with his last MLB stop. Well, not a lot. I don't not a lot, but some of the people I talk to most are A's fans, and I know that they are a very warm group generally.
Generally, yes.
Yeah. you know, they're sort of like the prototypical California, how are you doing? You know, that's sort of like a, how are you? Everything good? Kind of thing. They're a little outgoing and warm and fuzzy and friendly and probably more sincere than the typical American. But yeah, he said, oh yeah, but there's some people say nasty stuff to you. And I'm going, okay, that may be the case. They also tend to be, American fans tend to be a little more honest when it comes to their players' faults.
Honest or harsh?
No, I think honest. And then there are those who are really harsh, who enjoy that part, you know, being nasty. You know, that's part of the ballpark experience, is being nasty to people sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I've sat in the crowd for baseball games in Japan, and they can be just as mean and nasty. I just think you understand it, then it hurts more. But when you don't know what they're saying, it just doesn't cut as deep.
That could be. I mean, I, you know, of course I have heard that, but it's sort of on an order of magnitude, I think. Okay. Most of the people who are really into the game, and of course, you know, we get this comment, oh, they come here to watch, they come here to enjoy. Well, a lot of people come because it's a thing to do, and they spend 9 innings looking at their cell phones.
Yeah.
Eight and a half. So Eight and there's a half. Still that, and then I exclude the people who are, you know, there are those people, and there's probably more of them. I'm probably mean, but there are probably more of them at Giants games.
Yeah, well, one experience I had was at a Swallows Carp game, and Carp fans, yeah, but yelling at their own players. But anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Carp fans have a. I think the fans from Western Japan. There's a Western Eastern kind of split I've heard about. And Carp fans have told me, oh, we cheer like the Tigers, so we have some sympathy for that. So anyway, yeah, so the fans bit was a little interesting. But the other thing was the vibe about getting used to Japanese baseball and being on, and I said, you know, it keeps you on your toes. And I'm going to get to that in a second when we finish with Santana, but that was something that struck me talking to a few players this year.
Okay, well, let's get to Santana. So a lot of the usual stuff with his chat, but and I like him embracing the grind. I thought that was a great way to phrase it. It's so hard to fathom that a player at 30 or so had never had surgery before, with all the perils that can befall a player, you know, getting hit by a pitch, crashing into a first baseman, colliding with a teammate in the outfield, stubbing a toe on a chair at home like Jim and me.
Ouch.
It's a lot of stuff.
God, painful history, dude.
Yeah,
let's go there.
Yeah, both of us breaking toes there. So I was shocked. Things happen as you both stated, and I cleaned that up a little bit, so pardon me for taking out the bad language. But I was just shocked that he had never had any kind of surgery before at 30 and being an athlete.
Yeah, well, what you mentioned is what I was going to get to, you know, embracing the grind. Now, Levon Moianello said something the other day.
Mm-hmm. Pitcher for the Hawks. Yes.
For the pitchers for the Hawks. I spoke to the other day, 8 days ago. And he said something to the effect that the discipline, the work and discipline ethic in Japan changed him.
Hmm.
And I sense that with a lot of the players who come to Japan, that the Japanese baseball has a, you know, for a lot of Americans when they come to Japan, there's a lot of gear spinning, wheel spinning,
head spinning,
gear grinding, sort of like wasted motion.
Mm.
There's a lot of that, you know, hurry up and, you know, what, hurry up and wait kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Going on in Japanese baseball, the standard is that, you know, look busy. You should always be preparing. You should always be doing something. And there's a lot of going through the motions of wasted energy that you see in practice. But there's also an ethos in Japan that some people who see themselves as sort of baseball professionals, and I don't mean it in the sense that they're getting paid to play baseball, but they see themselves as craftsmen. Mm-hmm. And they aspire to be that. These guys, when they come to Japan, that thinking, that moral sort of like urgency to be intense, especially about defense, really triggers something in a lot of the guys who do well here. I noticed that with Tuffy Rhodes and what Moianello said and what Santana said and what Jesus Aguilar said, that, you know, they really appreciate that part. Especially Moianello said, you know, us guys in Cuba practice in our off time when we're not supposed to be practicing. Forget about it.
Yeah.
And they come here and they go, you know, this is sort of like, it feels right for a lot of the people who come here.
Right.
And you know, the guys we've talked to and we've seen them come here and the light goes on in their career.
Mm.
Because it's one of the missing pieces. There's no more of that, you know, let's just get by and do it, do enough. Japan's not really like that. I mean, it is. Japan is like that because we're all human beings. But the ethos in Japan is more that way. America, it's a little bit more like something, you know, if you don't have to run, walk, if you don't have to walk, stand, if you don't have to stand, sit down, if you don't have to sit down, lie down, if you don't have, if you can get by not lying down, go to sleep.
Sure.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's just like my philosophy. There's always somebody doing more, whether you're on the freeway and you think you're driving fast, somebody rolls up on you and flashes their lights at night and says, you know, move out of the fast lane. And I'm going faster than you. And I think when guys come over here and they see, you know, they think they're working really hard, and then they see how hard the Japanese players work, and then they think, wow. And some, for some guys, they embrace it, as Domingo is talking about. And for some guys, they might reject it and say, these guys are killing themselves and working too hard. And so it's different for both guys, but we got to move on if we're going to get everything in. So let's talk about our 1 month impressions of MPB so far. Let's start in the Pacific League. So the Eagles are struggling. I think that's no surprise. The Lions dropping seven straight was a bit of a shock for me. And then the Fighters are right where I thought they would be competing, but right around 500. The Hawks, the Buffaloes have fewer wins. Both have fewer wins than I expected, but there are new parts on both sides. Now, one of the things I'm kind of concerned about is Shunpei Yamashita of the Oryx Buffaloes. He looks like a different guy in a bad way. But to be honest, to be totally honest, I'm just putting the Fighters on every day to see Chusei Manami throw guys out. What about you in the Pacific?
Well, no, I think the Fighters exactly are sort of they were Dr. Jekyll, or hold on, I said they were Mr. Hyde the first year of Tsuyoshi Shinjo's management. And last year we saw a lot of the Jekyll and Hyde, and they've been more Jekyll this year. Which was sort of the plan, you know, which was sort of the plan that Shinjo would come in and sort of like unleash the talent.
Unleash the talent. Get out of the way.
Hashtag high heat.
Yeah, exactly. And this year, he let guys play, and there was a lot of grumbling about, the other stuff. But last year we saw Chusei Manami and Kotaro Kiyomiya.
Who just came back up, yep.
He did, just came back up, find themselves. And the pitching last year was quite good. The Fighters basically didn't walk people, which was, you know, it's one of the keys. And this year, the pitching has been pretty competent. And this week, we had the second week. And interestingly enough, the Fighters, you know, teams are now getting into the situation where they're playing the same week, the same team on following weeks, on successive weeks.
Same matchups, yes.
That's right. So the Hawks and the Fighters played each other the last two weekends. Not this weekend, but the two weekends before this. And Sachi Yamasaki, the new fighter,
right,
pitched against Kohei Arihara, the old fighter, and beat him twice.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the thing with the Fighters. But yes, they've been good. The Eagles have been unfortunately mediocre.
As expected.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't see a lot of bright spots. They've got young talent, they've got old talent. It's not really gelling. The offense has been bad. The pitching has been bad. Although the pitching has been bad in the sense that, you know, as I said last week, how bad can you be when you're the worst DRA in either league is 3.22? But that's, yeah. Well, you can be bad. It's just, as you know, it's a little Einsteinian and it's all relative. So that's the thing. The Hawks have been good. They've taken a little time to get out of their way. Oryx looks like it's coming on, especially, I think, I still don't know if the answer to Yuma Tongu's silence with me is that he was struggling when he was hurt when I talked to him for the first time last year, and he was struggling when I tried to talk to him this time this year, and I don't know whether he's actually friendly or not. But his bat is getting friendlier with baseballs.
True. They're meeting up a lot more often.
Yeah, he hit, as I wrote the other day, he hit a ball I don't remember who he hit it off of, but he hit a ball in a game that looked like it had a hot date high up in the left field stands in Rockton.
Yes.
Because it jumped off his bat like it was in a hurry to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So we've seen that. A lot of guys sort of finding themselves, Leonardo Cedeño. So yeah, the Buffaloes have been finding themselves. The Lions have been up and down. The Marines have been up and down. A lot up and down, but the Hawks and the Eagles seem to be the two teams that have sort of stayed the course for better or worse.
Yeah, and I look at the Lions, and I think they have a lot of moving parts. They have a lot of young players they're bringing up, or inexperienced guys they're bringing up and giving them some playing time. Kazuo Matsui, I think, doesn't really know what he has out there, and so he's trying to see. And that's the only way you can is to give the guys a chance. And I say doesn't really know what he has because you don't really know what you have in terms of what the guys are going to do at this level. He might understand the players and their strengths and weaknesses, but when you put them in a different environment, different situations, more pressure, you're not exactly sure how they're going to react to that. And that's what I mean. But I think it's patience for the Lions because, again, their foreign players, too, are trying to adjust, as we heard Jesus tell us earlier. So I don't blame him for anything that's going on. I like what he's doing. I like his approach. And I do see the Lions as a better team than I thought before the season started. What about in the Central League for you?
Jeez, more of that. It's been really up and down. The Swallows have been the sort of the Eagles of the Central League. I look at it with the bird thing, you know, they're the ones who've true to form, I suppose. But they've been more or less bad. The things which have been good about them in the past, largely the bullpen, have like last year been bad, but they've shown bright spots. Some of the starting pitching has been good, but the hitting now looks about normal. So that's sort of something that happened. I think we were all waiting for Minetaka Murakami to sort of unburden himself from the things that troubled him for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
So, and that's happened. I mean, the swings now and the look, somebody put it really well. He did a bat flip on his third home run of the season on Friday. That was, you know, his classic. He, you know, he's launched a couple of really good ones. And so he's looking really comfortably, sitting the ball well, and he looks like old time. So, or, yeah, you know, old times in the sense he looks like his younger 22-year-old self.
Well, again, you know, coming off of that Triple Crown season, he went to the WBC, struggled kind of in that situation, and then got into the regular season and seemed to be in a malaise. But I still think his numbers ended up decent. You're not going to have a Triple Crown season every year. His numbers ended up where they probably should have been, in the home run, 30 home run area. And he drove in enough runs. I think it was the biggest thing to me this season was that he hadn't driven in a run for a long time.
That's right. That's right. The home, well, he hit a home run.
So, I have it here. He was more than 40 plate appearances before he had an RBI for the team.
Right.
And then it was April 14th at Yokohama. Shingo Takatsu moved him into the number two hole just to give him a different view of the lineup. But it was 54 plate appearances.
That sounds, it's about right. Yeah. For the home run, and the 49 sounds like the RBI, but that's because the first RBI came on the Saturday, the first home run came on the Sunday against the Bay Stars, and the Bay Stars are probably thinking, why are you picking on us? You can hit nobody all year and just like hit two home runs off us in a week, so stop it.
Yeah, so 54 plate appearances for him to have his first run, home run, was the longest that it took him to get a home run since he became a pro. So,
right.
I mean, I'm not blaming him. I think he's fine in that respect.
I do too.
But what I did see, because I have seen him a couple times. I went to ballparks and watched games, and he has regressed defensively. Now, I don't know if that's related to his problems on offense, but he looks slow of foot. There are balls that are getting past him that don't seem to be hit that hard. Even the one game I saw on TV that I thought was a ground ball to third, and it went either under or over his glove. He just seems a bit sluggish on the defensive side. And that really, that bothers me more than the offensive side. I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, could be. His defense was actually pretty good last year. And then he's made a number of throwing errors this year, which is sort of atypical because he's been getting, I thought his defense was making really good strides last year. But I could comment much more, but you could read the story that somebody wrote in Kyoto News and about him.
Yeah.
And somebody find out. We're not allowed to say.
Okay.
He hit the home run the next day.
Then
he's hit three. He's hit two after that. So that's that. And the other surprise is Tomoyuki Sugano has come back, and he had 22 or 23 innings without allowing a run before the Hunch Tigers finally got to him.
Yeah.
He's been a different Sugano now. Somebody said, well, he's striking out a lot of batters. I think he struck out 9 the other day, which is the most he struck out. He struck out, I think, 9 in one time each of the past 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back to when he was Sawamura guy, and he was striking out that many or more about 6 or 7 times a year.
Yeah.
So he's not the and they say his velocity is up. I can't attest to that, but I think his control is better than it's ever been. And I think that's the thing which has been, he's been locating just so well. And this is where he was when he was the Sawamura Award winner, he said. I think he's also simplified things, but he's good.
Yeah, Sugano, he looks like a guy who's not laboring out there either. He's fluid in his motion, and he's pitching easy. So I like what you said last time about him, that he looks better than he has in a little while. But hopefully he can stay healthy. I think that's the major thing with him is just health. If he's going to be healthy and he can pitch without issues, I think he's going to be effective.
The other guy, I guess, who's worth noticing, and I'm not talking about his stats this year, but Shota Morishita is doing exactly what he was doing at the end of last season, which is really nice to see for the Tigers, because he's been probably the most consistent. They didn't really have anybody who was the most consistent hitter at the start of the season, but the Tigers come into Sunday's game, I think, having won five decisions.
Mm-hmm.
After a really rocky spring.
5 straight,
And it's like, who cares? It's spring training. But if you're Tigers fans and your team's persona is that you're going to lose, you're not going to win a championship, and the season every season is a search for the scapegoat. Sometimes that search gets started in February and March.
Yikes. You don't want that. Well,
no.
Yeah, but they're playing the Dragons at home this weekend. They won the first two. And speaking of the Dragons, as we go into play here Sunday, they're in first place, probably borrowing that or renting that spot for a little while, but they're going to run out of money and start to tumble down, I think. And this is something I noticed the other day. The Dragons had tied a club record holding opponents to 2 or fewer runs over 12 consecutive games. That was as of Wednesday, and someone at the office said, John, you must be happy the Dragons are winning. And I said, well, let me tell you a story.
Uh-oh.
So there are two guys who wanted to travel across the country to the same destination. One of them purchased a ticket and showed up to public transport location and easily reached the destination, no problem. The other hitchhiked, barely escaped a serial killer, took buses, rode a bike, had to run from some bikers, got beaten up, and they both arrived at this destination for this event, but one of them was pretty ragged, and then both made it on time, but one of them was pretty ragged and the other one wasn't. Well, the second guy, the one who had to hitchhike, is the Dragons. They don't win games, they just get by, they take lumps. They get beaten up, so to speak. I mean, because they hadn't been giving up a lot of runs. But just to score runs is such an effort for them. So it's not pretty to watch. They were winning some games. So to suffice to say, I wasn't happy. I always thought that this was not going to last. But something happened this week. So the Dragons decided some way. Again, they had held opponents to two or fewer runs over 12 consecutive games. And then they decided to change their rotation and pitch guys on short rest. And in that time, they have allowed 33 runs in three games. So what are we doing here? I didn't think that was a great idea. I said it before, you know, as soon as I saw Yanagi was going to pitch on Thursday, I said, you, Yanagi, on short rest? Why are you juggling your lineup? Just bring Hiroto Takahashi up from the farm, or somebody up from the farm, and throw him in that game. And then because they didn't have a day off, a lot of teams had days off between on Thursday, I think it was the Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday was a short day. Yeah, only four games.
Yeah, I think there were three, but.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So I thought that was silly. And then suffice to say, no one has pitched well in the rotation since that moment. And today they're going to go with one of their backup spot starter guys in Takahiro Matsuba is going to start today. So. I don't think that bodes well for the first place team or the defending reigning championship team that's seems to be in good form. So, you know, that kind of thing happens. As for the Swallows, I don't think the engine was running right and it was sputtering, but the Dragons helped them out by going with short rest, and they had 11 runs one night, and Jose Osuna tore him up, and then he has kind of been on a run here. So I think the Swallows would be fine. They'll be back competing soon, but
and the starting pitching has actually been quite good for the most part. Cy Snead is probably not as good as he'd like to be with this dead ball. But the Swallows, the thing, you know, is, you know, we have our teams that we watch more of. And the Swallows' thing is to throw strikes and to be aggressive in the zone. And it turned into a cascading failure last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this year it's been looking good. But a couple of guys have still not found their form, and they're depending on them. And they've had trouble with the bullpen, I think, largely because they've gotten into late game. They've been behind a lot,
mm-hmm.
and they've had difficulty finding any kind of rhythm in the bullpen. And so they've had a couple of weeks where the bullpen blew leads like three or four times.
In high games or close games. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah. they haven't done well on that front, but I think that's just one of those things that'll work out or it won't. But as I think I said in the preseason special, is if you're the Swallows and you actually have a policy that's, you know, I think all these teams have policies and plans, but the Swallows is one that's kind of easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
If your plan is basically to get ahead in counts and always be working, you know, dictating the pace of the at-bats, you got to be on it all the time. And if you are on it all the time, and if you're locked in, it's really, really hard to beat. But if you're not locked in and you're out of step, just throwing the ball in the strike zone can be really dangerous.
Well, yeah, that's where good pitches go to get hit.
Yeah, if you're saying, you know, well, the coach said throw strikes, so here it comes, kind of thing. Yeah, then that's trouble. And we've seen a lot of that from the bullpen. But the starting pitching, I thought, has been quite good. Reiji Kosawa has been quite good. Masanori Ishikawa, he wasn't really good, but he was good enough. You know, playing with a dead ball in Nagoya Dome to go five scoreless innings in his debut. So,
yeah. Well, things are tight. I think, you know, all the teams are right around 10 wins. Yoko is only with 7, but that could be rectified today and they can get closer. And so it's fun. Let's move along. Let's make a four-seam transition and hit our Rockin' with Roki segment. And it's good news. He has been moved off of Sundays. So I noticed yesterday he's not pitching today. So this was a week ago that he threw, and a week ago today, and we're recording on the 21st. So at Sendai, he went 7 innings, allowed 3 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned. He walked 3, struck out 7, and he threw 106 pitches. He won the game 2-0. He looked sharper than his last outing for me, but I'm still not seeing the kind of things I'd like to see from him.
Which is?
I don't want to see him throw max effort pitches, but once in a while I'd like to see him really cut loose, because it seems like he's aiming that fastball and it ends up middle a lot. And that's, I'd like to see him either pinpoint it, because I expect him to be dominant in the zone. And when he misses with that four seamer, it gets middle, and people are timing him really well, and it gets shot back the other way. So I'm just hoping better overall command on that pitch. Not that he has to go max effort with it, but I'd like to see him spot it a little bit better.
Yeah, well, his thing is that people are probably tired of hearing me say this, but that never stopped me before.
What stops you, Jim Allen, other than wifey?
Hashtag high heat.
Well, that's a good question that requires more time to answer.
Okay.
I'm 64 years old, dude, so I got a lot of things that have been stopping me. So, no, as I've said before, his fastball isn't really a good fastball. It's just a fast fastball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't have he doesn't stay on top of the fastball consistently, and it very often flat and runs arm side. Runs onto a lot of barrels, especially left-handed barrels.
Mm.
So, yeah. But I think, I think the max effort has gone from being an idea, not throwing max effort, to a policy.
Mm.
I noticed that last week, I think 2 weeks ago, his maximum speed was about 157. Kilometers per hour. Last week he threw one pitch at 158, one pitch at 159.
Yeah, I think it was policy a long time ago, to be
no
honest.
It was policy, but it was policy, but I mean it was an idea, you know, it was a thing, because he still would go into games and he'd be hitting 162 in the eighth inning. You know, he was really flashing the stuff. Now, he wasn't trying, maybe what you want to call it, but it was an idea. It wasn't like set in stone, because he was unloading a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, we ran an article in our paper that talked about how they had decided that they didn't want Max.
Sure, but he wasn't listening to him. He was still throwing 162, and then he was airing it out a lot, especially in early in the season. And this year, we've seen the opposite. We've seen him not trying to throw. We've seen him definitely. And as I mentioned last week, I had a discussion. I didn't mention that. I had a discussion with a colleague, but he said, I said, isn't he trying to throw as hard as he can? But what he said in the game was, I haven't been cranking it up. Or he said, my velocity has not been there. That's why I'm not tired. Now that's almost, that's a non sequitur in today's professional baseball, because there's virtually nobody, with possible exception of Jamie Moyer, who ever said, I'm basically not going to throw anywhere near as hard as I can. Because you throw as hard as you can compete with. That's the rule. And my guess is with Roki Sasaki, he is not. He's definitely, he's on cruise control. He's in cruising speed right now. And the idea is, I think it's very clear from, as I mentioned last week, from something that Masato Yoshi told me, that he's trying to spare his elbow. I mean, he's consciously, I think he basically laid down the science to him. And said,
Yoshi laid down the science to Sasaki.
To Roki Sasaki and said, look, this is what's killing people's arms. Do you want Tommy John surgery next year?
Gotcha.
And I think something like that.
Threatened him with a knife. I got
a light. That's right. That's right. He threatened him with a knife, and that's why we're seeing those non sequiturs of "I'm not tired because my velocity wasn't there," which usually means I'm hurt. When your velocity is not there, it means something's not working. When his velocity is not there, it means he's actually dialing it down, which is an antithesis in today's baseball and really, really interesting.
Yeah, it is. All right. We have one note that is that Yoshitomo Tsutsugo, who toiled in the major leagues and struggled with big league pitching, is back in Yokohama with the DeNA Bay Stars for the first time since 2020. And he got a hit on the farm team on Saturday. So it was an RBI hit. And he still, I believe, you know, the first thing I did was I contacted our own Michael Westbay and I asked him, you know, how do you feel? But I think everybody is just wondering, well, what Tsutsugo do we have coming back? And I don't think Michael was overly joyed about the return. He didn't seem that way in his reply. But something happened on Thursday. They had a press conference with him, reintroducing him to the fans, and they had an event at Yokohama Stadium with 9,600 people on hand. Have you ever seen such a thing? I've never heard of a player coming back and having a press conference in which they hold it at the stadium and make it an event for fans. Never heard of that.
I know. It's got like Shinjo written all over it.
So, but I just think Tsutsugo is coming back. He said it at the press conference. He said, "I don't feel like I have I'm going to be given a spot on the team. I'm going to have to go out and earn it." And we've got Keita Sano, we've got Yuki Watarai, the rookie, we've got Taiki Sekine, we've got Masayuki Kuwahara. That's a crowded house. And yes,
well, Kuwahara has been sort of the guy peeking around the corner. Can I play, boss?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, because Sano was off, you know, he was not in form. And so basically it was, but he's now apparently fit to play, and Tyler Austin, when he's been fit to play, has been playing first base.
Yes.
So there ain't a lot of places for him to play.
Yeah, that's what I was talking to Michael about. I said, well, I don't really know where he fits. I thought he probably was a better fit for some other clubs, not the Bay Stars. But yes, as you interrupted my 80s band reference, but I think, yeah, it was crowded house. He could play third, but long as guys are healthy, I'm saying he's capable of playing third.
No,
but as long as guys are healthy, they're really, you know, who's injured at the moment is Tyler Austin, and that's about it. So he'll have to earn his spot in the lineup. But think about this: you will have a quality hitter coming off the bench in late game situations. But again, that's a pinch hitting role. Does he stay in the game after that? He's a defensive liability in some respects. He's better than people think in left field, but I just don't know. You know, he can play different positions, which is good. So they have some options if they want to run for Miyazaki and then put Tsutsugo at third base late in the games. I think that's fine. If they want to stick him at first base, that's fine. If they want to put him in left field, that's fine. So they do have some options. So it does give him, Daisuke Miura, the manager, some options.
Yeah, well, Daisuke Miura found himself for one day in last place, and when somebody asked him about it, somebody said, "You're in last place." He says, "Like, well, yeah, because somebody's got to be." He said essentially, "Somebody's got to be last because they put the standings out every day."
Yeah, it's true. I mean, in April, don't be asking about first place and last place unless the team is over. You know, it really doesn't matter because you win a couple games, you could be in third place.
Yeah, so I think he's handled this team far better than I expected in his tenure here post Alex Ramirez, and I think he'll find some kind of solution. I don't know if it'll be the best one, but he'll do what he does, which is deal with people in positive ways and find a solution. I don't see it, but he's spending a lot more time thinking about it than I am.
Yeah, well, apparently, and this is again the Tsutsugo press conference, Tsutsugo said as soon as he became available that he got a phone call from Miura who said basically just get your butt back over here.
Yeah, well, I think that could well have been. We would prefer you sitting on our bench than starting against us.
Yeah,
every fifth, you know, every fifth game.
We don't get the entirety of the message that or the conversation that took place. I think we got parts of it, and yeah, probably didn't get into we'll do this, we'll do that, and this is going to be your role. It just basically come back. We can use you, and that can be in various roles. All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, Tony in Busan, South Korea, who sent us an email almost a month ago. Thank you so much for waiting.
Took a long time to get across the ocean there.
No. No, that's not how it works, but good try.
Is that how? Okay, I was trying to find an excuse, but that's
I know. Too early in the morning for the good excuses. We just get the yeah. surface excuses, which are not. Yeah. You got to dig down in the barrel and get a good one.
Yeah,
anyway,
I got to work harder next time.
We really appreciate the question. So Tony says, I live in South Korea and am a big KBO / MLB fan, but loosely follow NPB as well. So up until about 10-ish years ago, it was common for Korean players to play in NPB. Many were good. Think Lee Dae-ho, Lee Sun-yup. Also, a handful of Japanese players played in KBO. I wonder why these days this hasn't really happened anymore. My guess, assuming that NPB is a better and more lucrative league than KBO, is that the best Korean players are generally good enough for MLB. Kim Ha-sung, Ryu Hong-jin, and the next Korean players aren't really better than the level of player that NPB teams recruit from the Americas. Foreign roster spots are finite in Japan also. Similarly, the best Japanese players can play in MLB, and the next tier of players are happy enough playing in NPB, and the tier that after that is not better than players that KBO teams recruit from MLB. Would love to hear your take on this. Thanks. So yeah, there are a lot of questions in there, a lot of directions to take it. What directions did you take it, Jim?
Well, I think yes. I think this is part of the shifting awareness of available talent that has happened in Japan and MLB, where somebody asked. I think it in the preseason said, how come we don't get guys like Tuffy Rhodes and we don't get guys like Randy Bass anymore? And I think it's because there are fewer guys with real talent. I mean, and I'll take Randy Bass. He was a great example. He didn't play here a long time, but he is in the Hall of Fame, basically because he had 3 huge years with the Hanshin Tigers, 2 of which he won a triple crown. But he was, when he was 22 years old, he was probably the best hitter in AAA. And he didn't get, I think, 40 at-bats in MLB until he was 26. And that ain't happening in this climate where people actually pay attention to what guys do in AAA and they don't say, oh, he's AAA, so that's, you know, it doesn't matter what he did.
Sure.
This is MLB, and we don't play that game. You know, if we've got a regular, you know, first baseman who's got a 280 on base percentage, you know, he's in a major leaguer. That other guy down there is, you know, got a 1,000 OPS in AAA. He's never played up here. They're different players. You know, that's sort of a snobbery has pretty much gone out the window when teams are saying, well, geez, the guy in AAA is under control for 5 years, and this guy with a 300 on base percentage is in arbitration, and we're going to have to pay him real money next year. So let's get that guy. It doesn't cost us nothing.
Yeah.
So that era has changed, and that supply line has not dried up, but it's shortened. So I think the same thing has happened in Japan. More teams in Japan are seeing the available talent, domestic talent, and evaluating it better. So there's fewer gaps for players coming out of other players coming out of Taiwan and Korea to come into Japan. But on the other hand, the scouting, the same scouting that has allowed better appreciation and the better talent evaluation in MLB is also approaching KBO and skimming off some of their top talent that before was like Lee Sung Yup, who wanted to play in MLB, but by the time he actually had a chance to play in MLB, was pretty much done because Japan caught him. You know, he went into Japanese baseball. He got locked in orbit in Japan. He just couldn't escape the gravity.
Right.
And it's not like he couldn't have played in MLB. It's just that, because I don't really know, he might have. But by the time he was essentially ready contractually, that wasn't an option. They didn't take him when he was probably ready.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when he was ready, he probably wasn't able to play. So I think that's the thing. The shifting knowledge base has changed things. And I think the same thing. I think MLB is quicker to snap up the best players from Korea that were once headed for NPB because MLB lacked the analysis to make good calls on them.
Yep. All right. So, Tony, for this one, I contacted Lee Ji-ho, or Ji-ho Lee, who is a Yonhap news sports reporter covering the KBO South Korea for years. And I asked him about it, and he didn't even realize it had been happening. He said he thinks players either want to be in the majors or they're just enjoying the comforts of home. So that's what he said about it. Now, from the glimpse of what we saw of the KBO during the COVID period, we got some baseball games on ESPN that everybody, I think all baseball fans worldwide were trying to tune in and watch some of those games. So, but the pitching was not great across the board in the KBO. And when international play comes around, the better South Korean arms definitely appear in the games. But in general, the pitching is the profile of the pitchers is lower, I would say, in KBO. So I think players understand that Lee Sung-yup and Lee Dae-ho came here and were good, but they weren't nearly the productive monsters they were projected to be. I think they kind of fell short. Now, Lee Sung-yup was really good, and so was Lee Dae-ho. I think both of them had success. And so I think elite athletes like Lee Jong-bom's son with the San Francisco Giants, Lee Jong-ho, and Kim Ha-sung, who's with the Padres, I think those guys are really good, like elite athletes and elite players, elite hitters, and I think they're going to skip over NPB. And then there's some guys, like you said, basically guys who are in the middle, that tier in the middle, who probably just enjoy being at home and would prefer that, because to come over to Japan where the pitching is really good and comparable, as we talked about earlier, it's comparable to major league pitching in that guys have really good command and control. I think that's just, you know, that could be a career ender, so to speak, because that's what Lee Sung-yup experienced. He was good, but I think we predicted that he was going to be a big star, and even here in Japan, and he wasn't. Now, age had something to do with that, so that's part of it. Lee Dae-ho also, I think he came here, he was not a fleet of foot, spry baseball player. He was a guy who could hit with power, but they found his holes and they got to him. So the pitching really is really good here. So I think that's part of it. I think if you were a player, you'd rather either go to the major leagues or be the big fish in your own pond. Right. So, but under the surface, I think the NPB pitchers just have better control in general and can pinpoint better than the guys in the major league on the whole. And that's something we don't talk about so much, but I think that's what we're talking about with Jesus Aguilar was talking about in his chat that we had earlier. Part of it is that the guys are messing up your timing, but another part of it is that they really can place the ball in general. I'm not saying every pitch, but there's a percentage of pitches that go in the major leagues where the guys are intended or where they're intending, and in Japan. And I think on the whole, guys are hitting their targets or closer to their targets here in Japan overall, but we have to get data on that. So that's just my impression.
I think, well, having watched it,
yes,
I can, you know, and what's the difference? And I would say it's like 10% more often, you know, that like if the catcher holds his glove somewhere, sets a target,
right?
In Japan, you're going to see the catcher move his glove by less than like one whole glove.
Okay.
Width, yeah. By he's gonna move it about 10% less often in Japan
than in the major leagues.
He's gonna be hitting the spot just a little bit more. I agree.
I think we maybe can get Mark.
Simon.
Mark Simon, and see if they can come up with some data on that, because I just think it's better here in Japan. And if you're a KBO hitter, you want to stay away from NPB and that kind of thing, where, you know, the mental battle and the pinpoint control and
all
that
stuff,
and go to the States and hit fastballs that a lot of times the pitchers don't really know where they're going to go. They just know they're going to go into high velocity.
One scout with a KBO team who I talked to in the winter meetings said, this was a lot of Korean fans that I spoke to in Seoul in March had the same, I won't say a lot, but a handful of people who watch NPB and MLB and KBO had this concept that in Korea, Korea's lacking Japan's huge amateur baseball infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a bit of a knowledge gap and an intensity level that Japan has that Korea lacks. And so you see a lot of guys who have the athletic talent. And in Korea, one of the things which what I was told was that some of the players who are really athletic do not get stepped on the way some really athletic players do in Japan. You know, you're athletic, but you don't go with the program. You know, that's a Japanese thing. But on the other hand, if they do go with the program, it's a real good program. You know, as I talked about it, that intensity here. Japan sometimes cripples its best players because it doesn't like the way they dot their I's and cross their T's.
Right. Ichiro Suzuki, a great example.
Exactly. And Korea doesn't do that. But on the other hand, they sometimes don't. Players don't develop in Korea as well as they do in Japan because of the lack of infrastructure. Okay, and then the other one is the knowledge base, and the other thing is the salaries. And I think exactly what you said, there's always been a core of players in Japan who know the reality of, I can go to MLB and I can earn what used to be major league minimum. You know, $500,000 a year. Now it's more like $800,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Or I could stay in Japan and earn $3 million a year and play at home. And so there's that financial thing too. So there's a lot of moving parts in that story, but I thought it was a really fascinating train of thought.
Yes, Tony, thank you so much. And we Indeed. Appreciate you waiting so long. You said he's a listener of JBW, so I'm assuming he tuned in to the past shows while he was waiting for us to answer his question. But thank you so much for your patience. We appreciate that. Anyone else who has a question, hit us up on twitter.com @JBW Podcast with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions via email, including your voice messages to YAKYUJOHN@gmail.com, or go to the Facebook page and leave us a comment, some criticism, suggestions, or anything you want there. Look for us on iTunes and Google Podcasts. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballparks.
Follow the hosts on Twitter @JBW Podcast and @JBallAllen. Submit your questions with hashtag High Heat and listen for an answer in an upcoming episode.